You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise.
Yeah, baby. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. We got another special episode.
Oh, and a special episode this week is pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, baby. We did some interviews while we were down in Philadelphia at the coaches' convention. We couldn't bring you all of them at once, so we want to do an entirely new special episode just for these guys. First up, Jason Davis. I mean, what could we say about Jason Davis that people haven't already said about someone that they kind of like a little bit?
Sure. I mean, we can just repeat all the mean things people say to him on Twitter.
Oh, buddy. He's really upset about the 280 characters. But he is a great dude, man. You might remember him from Soccer Morning. You might remember him from Best Soccer Show.
Yeah.
That was a dope podcast. You might hear him now on SiriusXM FC talking with Tony Meola and some of the best, most important people in American soccer, including us.
We are the most important. We're climbing up the ranks.
Is there anyone more important than us? Buddy, take a back seat, okay?
Alexi Lalas said it, so, you know, whatever he says is gospel.
If he said it, it's true. So why don't you do this? Why don't you listen to this interview, and we got another one coming up right after it. All right, Cooligans.
Hey, we're here. We're back.
We are in Philadelphia, the city of subpar pizza.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Firing going shots in. Yeah,
that's
immediately.
Right. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it.
every city is really kind of ranked on their pizza. Not really, not their history. Not
forget
not
all
even
that.
The fact that this city pretty much founded this country.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, it helped. Yeah, I don't know exactly. He didn't study too much.
Got a big bell. And, yeah. Oh, Declaration of Independence. All that.
Yeah, there
couple,
you go.
Couple
yeah,
things
bell
like
got a crack, and next thing you know, you can't make a pie. You know what I mean? But who's with us? I know we're not just here to talk about pizza. This guy owns the best pizza shop. No, this guy, Best Soccer Show. You remember
change.
Best Soccer Show, Soccer Morning. Now you can hear him on SiriusXM FC. How many more letters can they put on the end of that?
Pay that money. Pay that money.
Guys, sign up. Forget all those other guys. This is why you sign up. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just try and put your hands together for the one, the only, Jason Davis.
Thank you, guys.
Jason
Thank
Davis.
You.
What's
Come
up,
on.
Good to
how
be
does,
here.
How does it feel to sort of be right at the front of this whole thing, having people just stop by listening to you talk to some of the most important people like us in American soccer?
I mean, it's been great. It's been great. The part about talking to you guys, excellent, of course. I think... You know what's funny about, you talking about like people walking by, I'm doing my show here on the floor as people are registering, like, oh, let me get my badge. Oh, who's that guy over there talking, whatever.
People actually went up to you to register for this
accidentally.
Event.
They're
like, oh, like, sir, could you stop talking for a second?
I handed out some badges.
I need information.
Yeah. Bro, you on the phone, dog? Like, where's the media
But
sign
I'm not
up?
Doing a show for those people
no.
necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, like, it's a weird feeling. When I'm at home or in my studio, nobody watches me when I do what I do.
Right.
And now suddenly there's all these people, and I look up, and there's Cooligans, and all these people taking pictures. And I'm like, now I know it's not for me. It's for Alexi Lalas.
Right.
It's for Tab Ramos, and that's great. It's cool to be out in the world doing what I do and see how people react to it. But I don't try to make, like, no eye contact. Like, that gets a little weird for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to make you more comfortable with this, why don't we just show up to his house while he's recording and just be like, yo, what's good? What's in the fridge?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're on right now?
But it is pretty cool. Yeah, and just to mention, we are here at the Adidas Predator / Live Breathe Football.
LBF.
Booth. LBF. Yeah.
You've seen us wear their clothing. Yeah. They're absolutely amazing. They did a really cool collab with Predator and all that, and they got some really cool gear coming out. We're going to talk to them in a little bit, too. But, yeah, that's really nice of them to let us use their booth. I mean, they didn't have much of a choice. We just set up. So. Now, what is something like – why come to something like this? What is it? Is it just because you get the personalities around you and you get a chance to interview some of these people? Is there something that you can sort of get out of this? I mean, this is a big time with the election going on and everything.
Well, I mean, the election thing is a big part of it, obviously. And everybody who's running for U.S. Soccer president is here because they can talk directly to people. And I think for me, that's what it is, too, right? I could be a hermit. I could be at home all the time.
Yeah.
I could just, from there's one benefit to sort of being removed from having to worry about how people respond to you, because it gives you a freedom to say stuff, right?
Like,
but at the same time, you have too much. You might have too much freedom, or you might not have a full appreciation of what's really happening unless you actually talk to people. And I think that, you know, it's better to have a relationship, whether they like you or not. It's really not important.
Right.
But you have to have a relationship with people. They have to know who you actually are. So when you ask them the question, they know, okay, this isn't some joker who's just making it up as he goes along. Like, he actually understands me or is willing to listen enough. I think that stuff is important.
Although, speaking of jokers, you do get a lot of heat online for being so part of the thing. People think you are making this all up.
I did want to specify especially what you were mentioning about having a relationship, because you were just having a conversation that I was watching with Alexi Lalas. And I would like to call this conversation, I think Jason Davis is the wokest white man I've ever met.
100%. 100%.
Because the wokest man in soccer.
Yeah. No,
because this is David. This is Jason Davisinho, okay? He qualifies as one of us. This dude is more woke than I am.
But I did love the fact that you did have a conversation. And throughout this whole convention, I think the inclusion has been a big part of it.
It's a theme, definitely.
Yeah, and you were talking to Alexi Lalas really about what the optics are, just essentially. Is U.S. soccer just too white and not really kind of helping or doing enough to fix that?
Well, I thought it was interesting that when that came up, and I'm not dancing, but I also don't want to attack people because I don't want
to
be on the defensive.
Well, white people can't dance.
I bet you, I guarantee you he's got moves. Just listening to him talk about society.
That was the cheapest joke I've ever made, but it really had to be done.
How did it feel, by the way? I get to be the one to make those shoes.
Yeah, I mean, you went down a very easy path.
It was very, very.
But when we were talking about it, I don't want people to be on the defensive. I want them to be honest and open and be feel free to express themselves. And the first thing Alexi did, and it's really like it's not his job to make American soccer inclusive in the sense that he's making decisions.
Right.
He's just he has to be part of the solution, sure. But he went right to. Say what you mean. Like, say
it to my face.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was an interesting way of going about it. And I appreciate, for all the stuff that Alexi does, and a lot of people give him grief, too, the way he goes about his job, he's not afraid to cut through a lot of the bull. I mean, he gets to the point, and he wants to get to the point because otherwise what are we doing? We're all just kind of like...
Yeah,
kind of dodging
everyone
each other
around the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I think you asking the question is important, and his handling of it. I'm okay with that perspective.
Of saying like, well, if you're gonna say it, say it.
Yeah.
Right.
To some degree, it's like it must be difficult for you because you are a SiriusXM FC. You do have the responsibility to sort of interview some of the biggest names and all the things that are happening. You know, you're one of those people that I go to when I say like, oh, this thing is happening in American soccer. What's Jason gonna say?
Right.
But you also can't just be out here just like busting everybody's shots, like calling people out, like, you know what you did. You know, like, that's not really your thing.
Okay. To me, that's. It's a matter of what you expect to get back, right? You do a calculation. How do I ask this question? How do I bring up this topic in a way that, again, is going to get me as close to an honest and actual answer? Because if you go, you're corrupt.
Yeah.
Who's going to say, you're right, I'm corrupt.
Yeah.
Please fire me today. Like, that's not going to happen. So how do you get...
So it wasn't you that hired that ProRail USA truck right outside?
Look, and I respect... I'm glad that there are people like that. Like, I'm glad that there are people who feel passionate enough to go pay money for a video truck to bring it to the convention.
So
I mean, whatever the effectiveness is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that there are people out there that do that. I don't know that they're going to achieve their goals because of their video truck that's got Sunil Gulati. What exactly?
Holding
puppets.
Kathy Carter. He was a puppeteer.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I do think the conversation with Alexi was cool because we did sort of like dig into how American soccer has sort of like created a governing class. I mean, it's like that, right? And there's a group of people who think that they kind of know how this works and how it should work and how to make it keep going or grow. And there are a lot of people who say, well, no, you've been doing this wrong for a long time. Look at what happened. And now there is a moment for those people who said you were doing it wrong to point to and say, see, now fix it. And I was talking to somebody just a little while ago who's got some pull in American soccer. And, you know, I was saying, like, I don't necessarily, I was totally.
Sorry, man. You didn't want to say it.
It was like, I don't want to go back and review the last 20 years and like prosecute people for crime. And I mean, if they did actual crimes, but I mean in the general sense, I don't want to prosecute people for making mistakes. I just want it to get better. Like, how do we make it better?
Right.
And that's you know, awakening. Speaking of being woke, to maybe we weren't doing the right stuff, or maybe we weren't giving enough attention to inclusion and outreach. And you know, maybe when we talk about these things, we shouldn't put everybody in the same. You know, it's like somebody mentioned this. When you say, when you say, oh, let's get more soccer into the inner cities, that's code. People are talking in code. They're not saying what
they want
mean.
More black kids and more Hispanic kids.
Well, they say, but then again, they also say, we need to get more black kids and more Hispanic kids. Let's go to the inner cities. Like, is that where they all live? They right. all live in the inner city? Like, right. are we doing this the right way? Are right. we approaching this the right way?
Like, why we talk a lot about this on the show? Like, I want more hood kids involved because we essentially were what people sure. would, I guess, see as hood kids. We both grew up in dense, very dense inner cities. I don't know that if just building a futsal field across the street is enough work. There's a lot more that gets involved. What are all the things that are happening in other societies? We could talk about all these things in sort of labs, but I think a lot of people give you a lot of grief because you're not solving these issues where that's not your job. Your job is to create the conversation, to keep the conversation going.
If you want me to try to figure out why people are mad at me sometimes, I'm guessing it's because I don't yell.
Yeah.
At the people they think are making the mistakes or doing the wrong things.
The people that they would yell at.
The people that they would yell at.
Okay.
Right. I think it's just, and I'm not saying that it's a lack of appreciation for what my job is. I think it's just a different approach to how this would be. And look, again, I could go home, sit behind my microphone and yell and never have to deal with these people and hide away.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the most effective way to go about the job.
Definitely
I just
not.
Don't. But if somebody else wants to do it, feel free. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's also there are limited opportunities in American soccer to have the platform I have. And I feel lucky, but I work damn hard for it too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like I can't apologize for being
successful.
There's
a few gatekeepers, guys. We can't piss them all off. Well, there's only so many bridges.
Yeah, I think your philosophy seems more speak softly but carry a big stick. That's what Jason Davis.
Okay, I know we're going Roosevelt on this.
Yeah, man.
I think my philosophy is like, everybody look at this stick.
I mean, and you know, it gets I don't know. I don't want to get like too into it, but it's one of those things. Like, I don't necessarily want to be talking about presidential candidates every single day.
It's boring.
Like, I want to talk about I don't know. I want to talk about the stepovers that, you know, I don't know. Like I want there to be more fun in it.
Yeah.
So we're in a situation where it kind of feels like I can't always do that.
Yeah. Well, there has to be this is where my mentality is, especially with what we're doing, where like there has to be some sort of normalization of the discussion of soccer in public.
Yeah.
You know, like where I think what you're doing and what a lot of other people are doing, right, where they're trying to move that forward, where they can, where instead of when you go into the, you know, office Monday morning,
right,
that soccer, I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if you bring up soccer at the water cooler
and people
are like, I saw the game too.
But I don't want it to be like, oh, which presidential candidate do you think is the best to lead U.S. soccer? I want it to be, did you see that goal?
How awesome would
it
be
see that goal?
If they did do that?
People just see Landon Donovan's hat trick for León, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because nobody goes to the things that they talk about at the water cooler now. Nobody goes to work on Monday morning and says, Roger Goodell really made a mistake with that policy that he implemented. It's really holding football back in America. Nobody does that.
You're right. They go, you're 100%
right. Did you see the touchdown? But did you see the Vikings win the last second?
Like, except if you're in Boston and deflated
banning.
Football's
yeah,
really,
banning.
Deflated
banning seems
football.
To be a issue.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's like. We are so wrapped up in building the sport that sometimes the sport gets left aside.
That's a very good point.
And I hate that you made that and we did.
I think it's an amazing time. It's a very special time. I say this all the time. I don't care if you hate me, love me, whatever. I think it's true for all of us that it's an extremely unique experience to be an American soccer fan. Because where else in time, in history, were people like in this moment where something was really happening, building, there was a community rally, growth was really part. I mean, what, the NBA in the 50s? Nobody talked to each other.
You had to dial
party lines and stuff to get people on the phone.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like the communication allows us to sort of share in this journey.
It's all new.
Yeah. We're pioneers.
Yeah.
That's exactly like what we are. We should get covered wagons.
But that and that
Lewis
fever.
And Clark.
but that raises an interesting question in my mind where people get wrapped up in building the sport. Do you think that there is a little bit of an arrogance for the people, especially these last 20 years with the growth of MLS, to they don't want to let go of like the thing that they built.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, I mean, they 100%. And they are owed an immense amount of gratitude for what
they got it already.
They got the gratitude.
Yeah, okay. They've got everything that we're gonna get already. Move on, man.
Yeah. No, look.
How many times can you do a lap for retiring?
But
you know what I mean?
I think that's true. Like, yeah, there's like a governing class, right? Yeah. And they're kind of like, oh, well, we're the ones who built it. We just get to stay as long as we want.
Right.
It's on everybody else. And I don't care if you came in yesterday or 10 years ago or whatever. It's on everybody else to figure out how to make that switch happen.
Push
and bring about
out.
The revolution. And again, I say this sometimes. We're not getting pitchforks and torches and charging soccer house. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We can't do it that way. So what is the solution? And is yelling a lot and getting angry? Is that what it is?
Twitter.
I think it's a lot
of all caps
on
Twitter.
So if we all tweet exactly the same thing at the same time, soccer will fix itself.
Yeah, I think so. All right. I think if we can somehow unionize. Right.
Yeah, if you go to the Alexis Guerrero School of Tweeting, soccer will
tweet
be through
all
it.
Caps. Don't think about what you're tweeting. Just tweet, baby. Hit send. Do it from the account where Christian gets upset. That's my rules. I guess you've had a lot of experiences. You've talked to some very important people. You probably have some very important interviews coming up. I think probably the biggest one the biggest experience you've had so far is watching us perform last night, right?
Absolutely.
That must have been amazing.
That's right.
But in reality, what are some of you've talked to Alexi Lalas, Kathy Carter, Tab Ramos. Who else? Is there anyone else that you want to talk to while you're out here? Is there anything else that you would love to clarify that you would love to have happen on your show?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think when you do a radio show every day, I mean, you want, I don't know. I don't preconceive, like, oh, I want them to say this thing.
Yeah.
I want this thing to happen. And again, I think it's on me to sort of find ways to push people to answer questions that not just people want answered, but maybe those people haven't even really figured out how to think about themselves. I guess that's so. I just want there to be, like, I don't know. I think we have a couple of guests coming up tomorrow, but I can't off the top of my head. I can't think of okay.
Nice tease.
But I don't know. Like today, I asked Tab Ramos about his comments about how you have to feel American to play for the U.S. men's national team, and if you don't feel American, you know, you can't. And he doubled down on it. Like he didn't back away from what he said, and he sort of. I don't say took a shot, but he said something about Hercules Gomez.
Right.
And you know, look, I'm not trying to start a fight. That's not really my role. But if Tab Ramos wants to say something about Herc and we get that conversation and maybe some of that spark, because I do think that American soccer is missing that personality, right? That extra,
for sure.
That extra edge, right? We don't have that. Maybe it's the white thing. I don't know. But we have a lot of everybody's very nice to each other. And while I think we all have to kind of get along to make it better, it doesn't hurt if passions get inflamed every now and then. Again, like, people want to yell. Okay.
But, you know, I like to say that we're such an enclosed society as soccer fans or soccer people that we're like a family. Well, families can argue and still sit next to each other and eat dinner.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why we can't have a disagreement and have it be loud and have it be verbal and have it be on social media or whatever the case may be. And then the next day shake hands and still disagree but be able to agree on other things. There's no reason why that can't be the case. And it frustrates me so much when everyone's like, if you say even one bad thing, you go away. And it's
we
say a lot of bad things.
I think there's a sense that because the community is small and because everybody does know each other to a large extent, that we must all be in cahoots together.
Yeah.
We must be all like trying to, you know, the conspiracy theories abound about how everybody's in everybody else's pocket or whatever
is.
Like, you know, like the jokes are everybody who doesn't bash MLS every day is on the MLS payroll. That kind of stuff. And that's frustrating for people I know, for honest journalists and bloggers and writers and radio people who really are, look, they don't come at it with an agenda. They're just doing the work, right? And so we don't. The only time that becomes a problem, because I can fight with my brother, and then we can go drink later and fight again probably. But we can do that stuff. Is when it does really create a situation where we don't want to talk to each other anymore.
Right.
Like that's the issue.
The breakdown
of
communication.
Yeah.
When
it becomes I don't even want to touch that topic. I mean, I know for a fact, and I don't want to call anybody out, but I've had people say to me, I don't want to talk about Pro Rel ever. Not because I don't think it's great or because I don't want it to happen one day, but because those people have made it terrible for me to talk about.
Yeah.
And they make it painful when I bring it up because they're just relentless. And again, I call it the third rail of American soccer, because you get burnt if you do it. So
yeah.
And I try not to avoid it, because again, I think I have a responsibility, but it's that's sort of the phenomenon that happens. And then everybody gets defensive and runs away. We don't
That's amazing. Yeah, well, I do want to, for the people who may not know who Jason Davis is, so I don't know, some of our comedy fans in particular.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I do want to, because I know Alexis has known you longer, or and you listened to, like, Soccer Morning, Best Soccer Show. Yeah. I was I did not listen to those shows.
He hated it.
Man. I hated it. I was completely against it. No, but yeah. I didn't really consume, like, soccer content. Until
he likes Soccer Por La Mañana. It's a very different show. It's a lot more cowbell.
It's very different.
Bikini women. For no reason.
Just explain, you know, your CV and how you got into soccer and how you got into where you are
now.
Oh,
you want me to go back?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Take us back. The way back machine.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is the craziest thing because it's 10 years. I was thinking about this. I started my first soccer blog 10 years ago, or 10, it would be 10 years in December. So 2008. And I got a regular 40-hour-a-week job. I hated my job, but I was just a regular guy working. At the time, my son had just been born. I think he was 8 or 9 months old when I started the blog. I was a bored person with my life, and I don't even talk about the personal side of it relationship wise, but I was a bored person. I was like, okay.
You're looking for a distraction.
I loved soccer. I had things I wanted to say, right? So I was, okay, I'll start a blog. And that was like the golden era of blogs back in like 2008. Now you start a blog, nobody pays any attention whatsoever. But back then you could write a blog. And in the first like year, I got like nominated for some U.S. soccer blogging award, which again, there were like 5 blogs, so it's not that big of a deal, but it was still cool to kind of get some recognition. I started a podcast almost immediately after that because that was what you were supposed to do, right? And I mean, I tell people this, like, it's not about that I don't think I have talent, that there's not some ego here, but I just didn't quit. Like, honestly, there are so many people I know, talented people who were writing at the time, who were blogging or podcasting, who they eventually decided, well, I'm not getting any money out of this, or I got married, or I had a kid, or I got to move, and they stopped. And that's great. I mean, if they are happy with that decision, that's great. I was too damn stubborn to quit. I didn't want my life to be the 40-hour-a-week job that I hated. I wanted something else. And I didn't know where it was going to end up. But eventually, after, you know, a couple of years, Best Soccer Show got a reasonable audience. People liked it. Thought it was really fun. I got laid off from that 40-hour-a-week job. I got laid off on like April Fool's Day, 2013.
Gotcha.
And it was, what do you do?
Like, I'm coming back in tomorrow, right, guys? Y'all fucking with me?
I mean, it was intense. I mean, my kid was, I guess at that point, he was almost 5.
Oh, wow.
He had just turned 5 or something like that. And it was, so it's intense. Like, how do you take, and
good thing at 5, you're not responsible for them anymore financially.
Honestly, on
get
some
a
level,
job, kid.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I thought about putting him on a podcast. Yeah. Extra, a little bit of extra, like $50
a
month.
Yeah, yeah, not bad.
No, but, so it was like, what do you do? And the guy I was working with at the time, Trevor Hayward, was like, let's do a daily show. Just do a daily soccer show. And I was like, can we do that? Like, is that something that people will actually...
Is this allowed?
Yeah, is it allowed?
I don't think anyone had ever done that before.
Have the permits required?
Right, right. More than that, I think it was about the, like, supporting, you know, like, supporting my family or just making enough money to pay my rent or whatever. And I didn't know if that was going to happen. And what was amazing, and I think this says a lot about the American soccer community and what's possible, even if we argue, even if we fight, even if not everybody likes that person or that person, we've crowdfunded the first like 6 months of it, and people stepped up, and it wasn't a ton of money. I was basically replacing my crappy 40-hour-a-week income, barely, you know. But it allowed me not to have to go back to that life, and I wasn't commuting anymore. I mean, I loved it. Now everything else around me was very difficult,
falling apart.
I guess I was just too damn stubborn. So eventually, after a couple years of that, you know, you get to a place where SiriusXM says you do a pretty good job at that. Why don't you come do a show here? And, you know, it's not like a here I am, look at me, I'm top of the mountain, but I'm pretty thrilled to be here.
Parked in Howard Stern spot.
Oh, man, I wish. God. Have you ever been the SiriusXM studios in New York?
Yeah,
I mean, there's like a wing. It's the Howard wing.
Yeah. You see the hand with the H in it, and that's through those frosted glass doors lays another world.
No, totally different world.
Yeah.
Totally, clothes optional on
I
that side
the
of the door.
I did the Bennington show in this tiny studio next to like Sway in the morning. And meanwhile, Howard Stern's just sitting in a hammock.
Oh, man. Every time I go up there, they put me in the closet. They put me in like the production room that's like, I put my elbows out, like walls on every.
Meanwhile, like the view.
But
radio
I get to talk about
like,
soccer.
Which is a blessing. Which
that's
is a blessing. Well, and that's what's important. So thank you, Jason,
for
being
here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming to our comedy show.
Yeah, you guys are hilarious.
Thank you.
You guys know that they're hilarious.
They don't know anything.
Okay. They know nothing.
Give us more. All these downward arrows. Yeah. These thumbs down on YouTube. No, don't do that.
No, up. We want them up.
Up this time.
Just watch.
Jason Davis, thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Where can people listen on Sirius?
Sirius XM and it just changed, channel 157. So it's the higher end of the... We're in, like, the Spanish language, deportes, things
that's
are happening there.
That's great.
That's
right.
Not a terrible place
the
to be.
The 157.
I'm on the air from 11 to 1 every day, and we got tons of stuff. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to listen to Tony Miroli talk about food and soccer? I think that's a selling point right there.
A dream of mine to do that with him, by the way. It really is a goal.
I can make that happen
for you. And on social media, where can people follow you?
Davis JSN. And look, I got some other stuff in the works. I'm not ready to necessarily announce anything, but just keep an eye out. So there's some cool stuff. We're all hustling out here.
Yeah.
We're all it's not just the radio thing.
We heard a few of the plans. Yeah. It's dope, but we can't wait to see it and support it as well. So thank you so much for being on
the show,
buddy.
Jason Davis,
appreciate
you so much.
That. Guys.
Bring back Best Soccer Show.
Damn, that was a good interview.
That was the damnedest good interview. Jason Davis is a great dude.
He's a great man.
Yeah, and like that's a thing. I'm glad we got to like have a sincere conversation about how he feels, even about his what he can offer to the soccer world. And he's just a normal dude, right? He's not the guy that's gonna flip the switch and change American soccer.
Yeah, no, he can't do it on his own, but he's trying really hard.
Yeah, and
that's kind of what we all do. We all want to add a little bit flavor and a little bit of sauce to what's happening in American soccer.
Jason got that sauce.
He's got too much sauce. You know who else got too much sauce? Our buddies Daryl and Taylor.
And Taylor. Of the total,
you know him, yeah.
Of the Total Soccer Show. A pair that we have not met. We've listened to their show. We respect their work. We love what they do. We never met them in person because I think they never leave their homes. I think that's how it works with them. But we had a great interview with them and talked about kind of similar things that we talked about with Jason. And really, you know, I would have to honestly say that Total Soccer Show, those two guys are, I mean, soccer nerds, without a doubt.
Yeah, what we do is try to make you laugh. They do by trying to make you learn the game and know more about the game, which is we don't want to do. We're happy that
we also
there.
Don't know how to do it.
Yeah, we're not going to. Like, they rewatch stuff, like I said in the interview. We ain't even watching this stuff, man. We're just sitting here commentating on it. So,
Yeah, so this is our conversation with Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell of the Total Soccer Show.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Yes.
Look who we have.
This is insane. This union, I never thought it would ever happen.
This meeting, this meeting of the soccer minds. The fans didn't want it to happen, but here it is. I mean, you've heard these guys, but you may not know what they look like. This is the Total Soccer Show.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey,
this is what we look like. Not the opposite. We get that a lot.
Yeah.
Where people think we're the other person.
People think you're the American?
People think I'm Taylor, he's Daryl.
Yeah.
People are very confused.
Well, the names
are
so
confused,
like...
But we're not confused about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's the high-pitched voice that I have doesn't maybe correspond
with
giant
the beard. Yeah.
So I think they tend to think I'm Daryl.
Yeah. You should just call yourself Nigel, and I think everyone would know.
Nigel Tufnell?
Yeah. Or Jamie Buller. Everyone would know. But then we'd hate you.
When I first heard your names, I'm like, oh, Daryl. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the coolest black dude I've ever met.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet Daryl, Tyrone. And no.
But also, we were talking to Jason Davis, but you guys came to our comedy show.
Yes.
And that was probably the first time we got to hang out.
I was so relieved that you guys were actually funny.
Yeah. I was so relieved you guys laughed.
Because we were just talking about this before during lunch. We were just saying, like, imagine we invite you guys to the show. And we're just awful.
We're not even bombing. We're just, like, bad comics.
We're just bad at comedy.
Could you imagine if you brought up a puppet just, like, right at that moment? Would you not regret ever even talking to us?
Oh, my God.
But I am glad we got to hang out, and I'm glad you guys are cool. That was, like, part of it. I'm like, these guys, like, I really respect what you guys do. I love your show.
Thanks.
And then I'm like, oh, and they're also really nice guys.
Yeah.
And great huggers.
Thank
great
you.
Huggers.
I try. I do what I can. But, I mean, we felt the exact same about you guys.
And that's awesome.
I mean, the show was excellent. Your stand-up was awesome. The thing I have to say, like, one of the most impressive things that you guys do crowd work so well.
Oh, thank you.
You, like, kind of shut down hecklers if you need to, but you also interact, but, like, not too much.
Yeah.
You don't get creepy. Some of the other comics may be a little bit touchy with the audience.
Yeah,
so you guys let me do that. It was excellent.
Well, yeah, I we put a stop to it right away.
This era of comedy, you shouldn't touch anybody.
Oh, no. Nobody touches nobody.
Are things happening?
No, yeah.
Specifically in comedy, but almost in every profession.
Just leave the door unlocked, guys. Let's be good to the rest of the comics.
But how are you guys enjoying this? I don't know how much you guys travel for the show.
We travel from my apartment, and we meet in the studio, and then we go back.
Okay,
right? This is like our first total soccer show field trip.
Specifically, Daryl goes from his apartment. I would go from my home.
Separate apartments.
Yeah, we're not really in the same spot.
Yeah. You both go from your apartment. He nudges you. It's time to wake up. Where you actually have a separate studio. What was the inspiration for that? Because most people who do a podcast would want to sort of maybe limit the additional costs or expenditures.
Honestly, we found cheap space.
Yep. There you go.
And we took it. Yeah. We jumped on it.
Yeah.
So that's why we got it.
Yeah, I think it's also because you have an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really sure where we were going to be when we moved back to Richmond, because for a long time we were doing it in an actual radio station. Then when I went abroad for a while, I think you guys kept doing it there right up until I got back.
Yeah.
And we were doing it via Skype. So when I moved back to Richmond, we just kind of decided maybe we don't want to do it in one of our apartments and have to move stuff around constantly. And and then we found cheap space.
350 square feet of heaven.
Wow. That's more than that's a studio apartment in New York City, by the way. So good for you guys.
So how did you guys meet? Well, you know, people always ask us what's our origin story, what is the Total Soccer Show? I mean, I know both of you are in Virginia now and do the show out of there. So how did this union come about?
Richmond City Football Club is a local amateur team that we were both playing for.
Okay.
So, we met playing soccer.
Oh, that's
wow.
Yeah, Richmond is a pretty huge adult soccer league. And I think when I moved back, I just started playing. And I think we met in Virginia Beach in a tournament. And then I guess, thought I was knowledgeable enough, because at the time, Daryl was working for a website called The Offside. You're the editor there?
Yeah.
Yep. And, needed somebody to write about Man United. That's my favorite team. So I did that for a while, and I guess I did that adequately enough that you, or maybe I didn't, and that's why you wanted me to do a podcast. Get him off.
Well, you suck at this, so maybe if you talk.
I mean, you know,
everyone's got one talent.
The shoe fits.
Listen, that's true. I mean, there's many times, MLS in particular right now has asked me to write, and I'm like, have you heard me talk though? Because it's so much easier than this.
Who's better at soccer?
I think Taylor, because he's played at a high level.
Okay.
But we are very different players, right? Taylor's dribbly, scores a bunch of goals. I'm more like classic, old school English center back.
Yeah.
More like you, Liam Ridgewell.
Yeah.
Digging a trench.
Oh,
Liam Ridgewell.
He's one of our heroes.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Daryl's definitely the better defender, certainly, and is also he's bigger than me to begin with, but he's also tough to get around, and he will absolutely foul you if need be.
So like Liam Ridgewell, would you say that when you're being attacked, you could just sit there and take shit? Is that what you would say?
Thank you for cursing. I was about to say that, and I was like, am I allowed to? I don't know how this works.
We don't have the Total Soccer Show rules.
Shit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So how long has Total Soccer Show existed? How long has it been going on?
8 years.
2009.
That is
wild.
That's
when it started, August 2009.
But you guys weren't five a week.
No, we were one a week.
Yeah.
So, okay, this may be a secret that we haven't necessarily talked about. We did it for a public radio station.
Right.
Once a week, we went in, recorded our show, we aired the next day. Then we were like, hey, we could do two a week, but we want to sort of go longer than the radio allows us to. Mm. So we used to sneak in, record an extra show, put that out.
I like that you make it sound like we had to actually sneak in.
Yeah, I pictured
no one
you
was
like
there.
Being lowered from the ceiling.
Yeah, there's Catherine Zeta-Jones lasers.
All those lasers.
But it really was it was just there was a studio that was always available, and we would just reserve it and be like, "Yep, still working on that one show."
Yeah.
You guys have been recording for 4 hours.
That is hilarious.
This is an opus.
Those segments. You just yell something.
So I mean, you guys are veterans in this game. I mean,
I didn't think of it that way, but
you've been in the league longer than some actual players.
You say time to retire? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And based on some of the sponsors, you might be getting paid more.
it was weird the other day, not the other day, it was like a year ago, when I think you made me confront the fact that no outfield professional players at a high level are older than me. And it was just like, that's how long we've been doing it. There was a time when they were like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
I still got a shot. I could go pro. I'm young. And now I'm just a grizzled old veteran.
Yeah, I'm at the age now where the people that were born in the same year as me are retiring, the bigger names.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'm like, why are they giving it up so early? Buddy, you still got 10 years. We have 10 years, right?
If I was signed as a designated player, there'd be a lot of complaints about retirement league.
You could be just because you have an English accent. I mean, they'll take you just because of that.
I might be the same age as Frank Lampard. Yeah. I think we're pretty much the same.
And buddy, you got 5 years left of NYCFC capability. What is the one thing that I think, because we get a lot of love, and you guys get a lot of love, we see it on your Twitter timeline, we get a little bit of hate every once in a while. What is the one thing that you guys get hate for? If there's something
main criticism.
The criticism, ooh. Yeah. What shade that's thrown at you guys? Is there one thing that just repeats itself?
I would say there are two, and it's we cover too much Major League Soccer, or we don't cover enough Major League Soccer. Yeah. It's one or the other. It really is.
And at the same time, you're getting both.
Yeah. Yes. Like, to the extent that literally, I think there was one time when our mentions had that like back to back, that it was like, you guys got to stop talking about Major League Soccer all the time. And the next one was like, I don't listen anymore because you don't talk about Major League Soccer.
That is
hilarious. It's an easy way to fix that. Just cancel the podcast entirely.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Then everyone's unhappy.
And then people are like, yo, why aren't you talking to MLS anymore?
Good on you, right? We'll be nice to them after the comedy show. Then we'll talk them into retiring. Yeah, actually.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Very this is all our plan. Then we go to 5 days a week and we get that cool Squarespace sponsor.
Would you agree with that? That it's Major League Soccer? Or do you think there's other ones?
Yeah, I think because that's the biggest sticking point, right? Like, yeah, it's the biggest thing that people want more of or less of. I think actually what people want is more of their team. Right?
Yes.
So most people want, say, if they're a Sporting KC fan, they want Sporting KC content. They don't necessarily want league-wide MLS content.
Right.
And we can't provide that for all the teams.
Yeah, you know, we can't either. Yeah. And we hear that we don't do enough of either this, or we don't care about the West Coast teams. We hear that a lot.
Yeah, well, we sort of focus where the fun is. And if, like, some teams are way more fun than others. So and some teams are way more conscious of that, even from, like, a marketing perspective or, like, a social media perspective.
Yes.
So, like, LA Galaxy doing the Shooting Stars meme
I remember
against the Clippers. I mean, we're gonna be talking about LA for a little
bit. We talked about it, we tweeted it, we did the whole nine. But that's why some people are like, you guys are an Atlanta United podcast now. But no, they had 30 games in 2 weeks. So there was a lot to talk about there.
I mean, we definitely did have that when we probably weren't covering Major League Soccer enough. That we would like, all right, we're going to rededicate ourselves because we've got like Seattle, Portland coming up. We're going to watch that game. We're going to break it down. And then I think we would slip for like 4 months and be like, all right, we're going to rededicate ourselves. We got Seattle, Portland coming up. We just kept doing that one game.
We really fell in that trap of like looking to that game since when there's the crowd, you know, and it's really good on TV. And they're often quite good games, right? Wasn't it? 4-4 ones or that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have, I think in the last 2 years, we've made more of an effort to sort of watch more, like figure out more and try and track the youngsters that are coming through Major League Soccer. That's really our interest, right? Because we don't necessarily.
You guys do an amazing job of that. By the way, I love the scouting network that you guys do. That's really cool. Great way to also not have to do any work.
It's a little Tom Sawyer.
You read a little bit off of a spreadsheet, my guys. That's real smart. But one of the things that I think I, as a fan of Total Soccer Show, and Christian as a fan of Total Soccer Show, what we look to you guys for is your coverage of the men's national team. You guys do, or all of U.S. soccer. You guys do a really good, as soon as a game happens, I know to go to you guys, you'll break it down. You'll talk about Michael Bradley for about 45 minutes. I know you're going to do that, right? Yeah. So what is it, other than that, what is the one thing, because you guys talk about everything, how do you decide, what is it that you try to focus the most on?
Sorry, you want to go? Mm-mm. All right. I think for the U.S. games, so we do the quick take, hot take one, and that really is just kind of our instant reactions, and we really don't talk too much during games, so we haven't really shared a lot. Sometimes we do, but we do that, and then I think when we go back and rewatch, we try to see if what we thought in the kind of emotional reaction is actually accurate, and then try to break it down a little bit from there.
I would say we're interested in the why, right? So you see a lot of stuff. So speaking of Michael Bradley, right, there'll be a lot of stuff of like, oh, he sucked that game, right? So it's fine to say that because maybe he did have a bad game, but we like to go back and ask why. What are the reasons for it? And then sometimes you see reasons that maybe it's not all his fault. There's some other stuff going on, but I like to at least have the reason why and try and explain it as best we can.
But don't you see yourselves as a bit of a Michael Bradley apologist, the two of you?
So that was almost one of the things I was going to say about people criticizing us, is that we stuck with Michael Bradley. Uh-huh.
And you guys aren't wrong. It's funny. Sometimes you'll talk about what happens in a game, and I'll go back and watch some of those highlights that I can get my hands on, and I see that you're right, but it's like, but it's so much easier to just yell at the screen. Like, you guys go find facts. We don't have facts. We don't want facts.
Well, I think, honestly, a part of that is... maybe this is a view behind the curtain, is that we did one show once where we were kind of all very angry. That was adorable. where we all really angry, and it's not fun. Like, it's not fun to record that show because you end up just, you kind of like, it becomes this thing of like, who can be the angriest?
Yeah. Right. And then you feed each other's anger. Yeah. Raises.
And so we try.
Yeah.
There you go.
Christian just doesn't try to beat me in anger.
It's not a circle or something. I'm just like, do your thing, buddy.
Christian's like, I'm going to just read this magazine while you go ahead and do that. I'm going to tweet a little bit. Tell me when you're done.
Well, and I'm also curious, you were talking about, especially at the youth level and players coming up, what, especially since you've been doing the show for as long as you have, and I'm most mainly curious for about Daryl, because the, I was telling you guys this yesterday after the show, where I sense a real empathy for the, just a care for American soccer, mm-hmm. where it genuinely is not a thing I feel from a lot of other shows and a lot of other content. Where I'm like, these guys, you guys make me care about the progress of American soccer more than most shows. And I'm like, this British guy's making me care. I'm going to shed a tear because he loves this country and he loves soccer in this country.
Real quick before you answer, it's not that hard, Liam. Sorry.
Yeah, like how did that happen? Did it happen organically? When you got here, were you like, I already enjoy football and I'm just going to bring that over here? Or was it, did it pique your interest in a different way when you started?
Or is it because you're a Wolverhampton fan and the quality's quite...
So for me it was, I grew up in England where it's all Premier League, England team sometimes, really focused on that. So for me it was really, and the arguments get stale, right? Like the Michael Bradley argument you're talking about, imagine that for like, there's always one or two players that is about, right? It was Andy Cole for a while, it was Michael Owen for a while, it was Wayne Rooney for like 30 years, we were discussing Wayne Rooney. So to come to a new country in 2005 and have like a whole new soccer landscape, and everything to me was interesting because I didn't know about it.
Right.
I didn't know who and almost any of the players were. So to like launch into that with fresh eyes to me was really fascinating because it's a whole new set of problems. And then the great thing about soccer in America, because it's a much smaller segment of people, and I hope that changes one day.
Yeah.
But it's the nerdy people, right? It's the people who like the nerdy, fun conversations as opposed to like just the dude in the bar yelling at the screen.
Yeah, for
people
sure.
Too, but
we're right here.
Yeah.
We're all versions. So.
Yeah. We're all just yelling at the screen in different ways. You're yelling at it because the data's not loading fast enough. I'm yelling at it because someone said the word data. You know what I mean?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I really like the sort of the way the game is looked at here, maybe more than I do back home. The show doesn't go out in England, right?
Of course not.
No.
And maybe worth filling in also, Daryl met his wife studying in University of Dublin, was it?
Yes.
And she's American. So that's why Daryl moved here.
Oh, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We talked a little bit about that. Yeah. Right. What do you see? I mean, we talk a lot about what our future holds and where do podcasts are growing. The sport of soccer is growing, but there's also new media that keeps popping out. Like, where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years? I mean, 5 years, you'll be what, 13 years into doing this?
No one's ever unironically asked me that question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Wow.
It's a job interview now.
Yeah. Sell me this pencil, Daryl.
I'm really hesitant to answer this only because I don't want to be the guy who, like, in the, like, 1980s was like, oh, newspapers, they're never going to go away. Yeah. Like, it's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do feel like it will be around for a while, this medium. So, hopefully...
I worry about that, right? I feel like we were lucky to be sort of in early on a new thing that's definitely growing, right? Like I forgot the name of the company, the Nielsen, it might be. Edison Research. Okay. Nielsen's TV, right? Edison does the podcast review stuff. The percentage of people listening, the number of people is growing every year. So I feel like we're in on it at the start. But hopefully I live another 50 years. At some point, that's got to...
That will dip, for sure.
Maybe
podcasts
will be
old.
Maybe it's holograms. We have to do all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess the plan is to adapt, right? To keep doing the thing where we talk about soccer, maybe in the way that we've been doing it, but to not be scared to like jump on the next thing, right?
To always be new.
Yeah, like I'm scared of Snapchat, don't understand it. So I'm worried that I'm missing out on that. You know what I'm
saying? I would love to see you in a cat face with the ears and the head. He's like, Michael Bradley. Like, get this thing off my face. What am I hitting? I guess for us, it's probably the same thing. You know, we don't know what it is. We're not 100% sure what we're doing. And I think that's why I think a lot of the fans...
No one is.
Kind of, yeah. No one is.
Yeah.
But I think that's why the fans love what we do, because we're... I wouldn't call us upstarts, but for the most part, we're just people that were so passionate that we had to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think Christian mentioned it. We give you guys a lot of credit for what you're both doing to build sort of just the knowledge base of how to watch soccer. You guys help us. We bring you guys up on the show all the time. Like, oh, they broke down the Texas. We're not doing that. But they mentioned this one thing. I'm like, certainly. I mean, you guys rewatch. I don't even watch the games. You know what I mean? They rewatch. I won't even watch the highlights. Christian's like, did you see? I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. Let's just talk about it. We'll figure it out.
We were just talking about we were talking about before about the progress plan for Carl Martino. I'm like, I read the whole thing, and I'm like, Alexis, we're going to talk about this. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, he just says a couple things in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, just like, okay. I mean, but you know what? But I think that main focus of sometimes that looseness of like, maybe we don't know exactly what we're talking about, but you will laugh.
That's yeah.
That's really that's the only purpose I would like to serve.
If you laugh, I mean, you may walk away going, "Those guys are idiots," but you're smiling when you say it. Then we've done our jobs, I think.
And that's the main thing. It's like bringing to soccer what we feel our strengths are.
Yeah.
And I listen to you guys. I'm like, these guys are knowledgeable. They have a great dynamic, and they can deliver this information it's a pill wrapped in candy. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, this tastes okay. But I'm like, oh, and I've also learned while I...
That's very kind of you. Yeah, we're actually lying. We've never watched any of the footage. We just kind of wing it. We're like, oh, Michael Bradley probably held the ball for a while.
Rewatched.
Like, they should have scored. Yeah, we're good.
How do your significant others view this 5-day-a-week, essentially full-time job of talking about American soccer?
They're all for it.
Really?
Yeah. I think.
Can they call my wife? Is that possible?
Well, they're both very into the idea of be happy, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't do a job. Don't do a job you hate. Do something you love. And also, you know, my wife now works from home, or she has a separate office that she can go to, but she doesn't have a 9-to-5 type thing. So my schedule is kind of flexible. So it means, you know, we get to spend a lot of the day together, right? Because we're not in the office at like 9.
Right.
I mean, it's ambitious, right?
If 9 a.m.
Yeah.
9 p.m.
Sometimes. Yeah. Right. So, but the flexible schedule, like me and my wife both love it because it means we get to spend more time together.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I think we're both really lucky because I think we chose partners who like really support us because, you know, when we started a podcast and doing it full time, and it is our full time gig now, like it's not always the most lucrative of industries. And I think a lot of other people maybe would have said, okay, like you did this for a while. It's time to maybe go back to getting a regular job where you're getting like a salary and we don't have to worry about some things.
Yeah.
So to have that kind of support, you know, like she's at home right now, like taking care of, we have 2 dogs and she's in school and it's a lot of work, but she's doing it because she really wants to push us to do good things.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing.
It takes a village to build American soccer. Guys.
Yeah.
We're trying to get there. Taylor.
My wife hopes that village has oil and then there and then their hills.
Taylor and Daryl, Total Soccer Show. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you guys. It's excellent.
We're huge fans. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this, guys.
Right back at you.
What a great interview that also was.
Oh, my God. We are just killing it with the interviews.
We are crushing it, but you already knew that. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that. Hopefully, you enjoyed this special episode. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
Hold on. Before we leave.
Oh, no.
No, make sure you let people know that none of this could have happened without the support of SeatGeek. SeatGeek, always looking out for us. Make sure you want to support the Cooligans, go to SeatGeek.com. Use the SeatGeek app. It's incredibly simple to use. You want to go to any concert, any sporting event, any Major League Soccer game, go to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code Cooligans, and you will receive $20 off your first purchase.
Yeah, and plus, they're the official ticket sponsor, ticket partner of MLS, so you might as well go there for all your away games.
So do the right thing.
And also, shouts to OG Podcasts Network. Thank you so much for having us. I'm so sorry we keep breaking all your equipment. We absolutely love you. Please don't go. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!